John Panos, John McGrath, Troy Malcolm, and welcome to Million Dollar Agent. How are you, gentlemen?
Hi, team. Very well, Troy.
Very good. Very good. Excited. We're 18 days out from Christmas, and I really love Christmas. I think it's such an exciting time of the year, the festivities. You get to catch up with family and friends, think about the year that was just gone and by, and get excited for the year ahead.
Troy, you're a jet setter. Every Christmas, John and I are hanging around Piedmont, and you seem like you've come back. Oh, Troy, where's Troy? He's come back from Florence, or he's with mate. What's unbelievable, Troy?
The plan this year, Tom. Actually, I'm going over with some mutual friends, actually, that you and I both have, and John, you also know as well, from the UK to do a speaking gig on the 8th of January. So I'm doing a quick trip over early January to the cold UK, and then I'm coming back kind of mid-January, the 13th, to get straight back into work. So no real big holiday this year, just in Sydney enjoying the sunshine, and then over there for a speaking event, and then back.
Who are you speaking to or for?
I'm speaking to, there's 300 UK agents, and I've got two sessions, one in the morning for 3 hours and one in the afternoon for 3 hours. So pretty exciting to take them through all the key skills and strategies and concepts to really get them ahead in the new year.
Well done. Well done.
This is quite extraordinary. 4 years ago, Troy Malcolm used to be an AV technician on a podcast, right? And now 4 years later, he's a keynote speaker speaking in London. Troy, you're going to be in London. I'm going to be in Leichhardt. I mean, that's a
else. But then, Tom, you're going over later on in the month, aren't you? You're going over.
No,
to speak on another...
No, it's going to happen. It's going to happen in June. I'm staying put in Sydney. I'm going to have a few days in Byron Bay. But I've got to tell you, I love Australia. I think Australia. Like, I know a lot of people do go overseas over the Christmas period, but Sydney, Australia, Byron Bay, Queensland, it's a really good time of the year to be in Australia. Love it.
Lucky country, I agree.
Now, we are going to move on to today's presentation, and MDA Bootcamp had a presentation called Results Times 3. And we had so much good feedback that there's about 15 slides, and every slide had information and content that is applicable to the real estate market that we're facing right now. So, John, I know that this presentation, 200 people had seen it on the day in at the Sydney Hotel that we were presenting at, but for the 10,000 or so viewers that tune in each week that weren't there, and for those that were there, they can have a bit of a repetition. If it's okay, John and Troy, what I might do is just go through some of the slides, and because it was your presentation, John, you might want to sort of fill in the gaps, and Troy, I'd love to get you chiming in as well. But the slide that particularly inspired me, which I actually posted today on social media, was a quote that you used, John: the hero and the coward both feel the same thing. It's what they do with the feeling that makes the difference.
Yeah, that's a good one, Tommy. And I had come across that quote, I remember very clearly, just before that event. And I think from memory it was Customato, who was...
That's the one?
Yeah, the boxing coach. I don't know if it was Ali, but it was one of the great boxing coaches. And he talked about the fact that a lot of people make the mistake. They think that people that appear fearless and make courageous decisions and do great acts, that they must have zero fear and they're like bulletproof, whereas in actual fact, that quote, and if you read on further to what he said about that, which I did, it was really talking about the fact that kind of everyone is human, everyone to some degree feels some doubt, some hesitation, even some fear, maybe terrifying fear. The question is, what are you going to do with it? So that was really good when I read that, because sometimes, you do feel a bit of trepidation and you think, I don't know, I shouldn't be feeling this, I should be more courageous. Well, the reality is it's courageous if you feel it and do it, so don't worry about the fear. And in sales, Troy and I, we use the phrase often in our coaching with our team is, 30 seconds of courage 4 or 5 times a day can change your life. So meaning that, you're there at a listing appointment, Tom, and and you know, you're kind of nervous and you built good rapport and you know you're up against one of the best agents in the marketplace, and you kind of almost don't want to hear the word no. So a lot of people fail to close the business or ask a series of closing questions because they don't want the opportunity of rejection. Whereas if you actually just say, Tom, look, based on what we've discussed here today, would you feel comfortable putting me to work? Now, just have the courage to say that it's not even 30 seconds, it's like 7 seconds, and then the courage to shut up and be quiet and let the silence do the heavy lifting, which is, you know, like if they're on the edge and there's silence and they're thinking about it and you're in front of them and you're a good person, you've got positive intent, all of a sudden they, you know, they might look at each other and say, well, you know, what the heck, you know, we think you've done a good job and it was a difficult decision, but we're happy to go with you. And so many times in my life, and as I was saying, Troy, to our Queensland team yesterday when I was up there, yeah, this is a winner-take-all business. If you win a listing by 3%, you get 100% of the commission. You lose it by 1%, you get zero commission. So just the courage to just ask the question, even when you're feeling uncomfortable, even when you're fearing rejection, is a critical thing. And that's why I shared it on that day with our boot camp team, because I could relate to that, because often you feel a little bit, you know, maybe inferior, or, gee, should I be feeling, you know, fearful of this? I should be maybe more fearless. I don't think it's a matter of being fearless. I think it's a matter of moving forward through the fear.
The other thing, John and Tom, that I always notice is that a lot of agents seem to get nervous about silence. They get very, very nervous about when they say something or leave a statement with the client to make a decision or ask a question. They fall straight into that. They want to say something else to try and influence them and not let them speak. Do you notice that a lot with the people that you see around the grounds, both John and Tom?
Yeah, I've experienced it myself sometimes. If I'm having a conversation with someone and there's silence, I'll feel it myself. So, definitely.
But that's where the good stuff happens. And you've seen me do it oftentimes, Troy, when I'm in a session and I'll ask a question and then leave this pregnant pause. And I actually, in that instance, hope no one jumps in, because what I'm trying to do is give people the experience of that dead air, that kind of nothingness space, because my experience is that's the sound or the non-sound that almost precedes everything that's important. Like whenever there's a big decision to be made, you ask the question, you got the intensity, you've got your energy right, you've earned the right to ask the question, and then all of a sudden you ask it and shut up. And I remember many years ago, Tommy, you and I go back to the early Tommy Hopkins days, and I think it was Tom or Brian Tracy or Zig Ziglar, one of them said, first person to talk loses. And I remember that, you know, I think I heard that when I was 17 or 18 years of age, just starting out. And it really does mean that if you let the space just sit there and you've thrown, but you've got to, as I said before, you have to have earned the right to ask the question. You can't just go in and kind of not be researched, not ask good questions, not build rapport and think, okay, well, all I got to do is ask the question and shut up. You must earn the right and time it. But if you've earned the right, which I know our listeners will have, and time it and shut up, and then just feel the fear. And just know that this is what happens. It was funny, early this morning, Tom, I was listening to Jordan Peterson, who I know you both of you guys like a lot. And he was talking to, who was it going to be? I was going to say Tim Ferriss, but it wasn't. It might have been Tom Bilyeu, but it was one of those presenters we love that was asking. It was Joe Regan, your buddy.
Yeah.
And I was amazed because he was saying, oh, I hate adversarial conversations, and I hate it when a reporter kind of gets on the front foot and tries to take me on, because a lot of ways, me looking at it, watching him think that he's the kind of guy that thrives on this and controversy and adversarial, he said sometimes it takes me 2 or 3 days when I've had one of those interviews to recover, because it really hits me internally inside when someone clearly is out to try and get me and nail me to the post. And I thought that was great, because it was telling me that he's vulnerable, and it was not what I expected to hear from him. And I thought that's great, because that's human, and, you know, all three of us and all our listeners occasionally, maybe often, feel that fear. But Jordan Peterson's out there feeling the fear and doing it, putting himself out there on stage with clear views, many of which are controversial, but I suspect not intentionally, they're just his views. So, yeah, it's a good one. I'm glad you picked that one out. What else did you see on that?
The other things I saw, John, that I thought was extremely relevant is that there's a handful of things once mastered will shift you forever. Mm-hmm. And you talked about key concepts. And what I found I liked about that is the simplicity, where sometimes people think that they've got to be brilliant at a thousand things. And some of the key concepts that you talked about is preparation is free. John, I love that. Elaborate more on that. Preparation is free.
Well, the key to greatness is often preparation. It's not greatness itself or natural skills or incredible charisma. It's do you do the homework before the meeting, before the auction, before the buyer appointment, whatever it is. Do you put the time and effort in to be fully prepared for that moment? And it costs nothing to prepare. It's a little bit of time and effort. It's a little, you know, put in your diary, go through. On the internet now, virtually everything is free. So you just go on there. And so that was really keen. But coming back to the point that preceded that, you're right, Tom. The things that can make you a great agent, and you use, you know, you often say it's, you know, it's not the $64,000 question. There's not 1,000 questions people ask you. Same thing with this concept is if you are world best at connecting with people and having creating that space of like and trust, that is one of the key things you have to do. If someone, I always say to our team when I'm coaching them, if someone likes and trusts you, number one, and two is someone hears a plan that they have confidence will give them the highest possible price, they're signing with you.
So, why does someone like and trust one person but doesn't like and trust another person?
I think that, yeah, there's two things, Tommy. I think people smell and sense your intent. And if you're a good person of integrity and your intent is genuinely to help them, they will feel it and sense it with every part of your body language and every cell in your body. So I think that's a big part of it, is where is your intent coming from? The next part of it, though, can be very much learned. So you can learn to be a great listener. And if you're a great listener, people are going to love you because they love talking and they love it when you're interested and they love it when you ask follow-up questions that reinforce that you're listening. So that's really important. You know, if you've got empathy, that's, again, makes you incredibly trustworthy and likable because you're there in their corner and you're really feeling their pain or you're understanding where they're at rather than coming from where you're at. So, you know, that's really important. If you're a great storyteller, story with integrity, but a storyteller with a modicum of a sense of humor thrown in, I mean, that makes you likable. And these things can be enhanced and practiced. It was funny, years ago, and I know, Tom, you and Dr. Fred have been doing some great forums together, and I'm getting rave reviews about them, as I expected. But, you know, I asked Dr. Fred, how do you become a great storyteller? Because he just used to mesmerize me in the audience by just telling story after story, and the way he explained things was through story, and I still remember them 25 years later. Whereas if he'd have just told me facts and figures, I would have probably forgot them the next day. And he said, John, it's just like learning a language. He said, if you want to learn French, you just kind of decide and practice and think about it and practice and practice, and you'll be able to speak French. And that's I started, and I think today part of my presentation or listing or whatever it is very much wrapped around storytelling.
So I can't – yeah, John, I can't get over the In the first ARIC talk I talked about a story about if you hang around a pub and you're drinking with mates, the reality is as the night goes on, and I went on, and then I think I finished off saying the bottom line is if you don't want to slip, don't hang around slippery spots. Right. And what happened is I can't get over, it's like 8 years later, and I'll walk past someone, Tommy, if you don't want to slip, don't hang around slippery spots. It's incredible how I did 45-minute presentation on all this data, all these other graphs and that, and what sticks with people, what resonates with people is a story that has cut through.
Yeah, no, and I remember that. Like you said it now, like you said it yesterday, and even though it was many years ago, your stories, metaphors, word pictures, these are the things that you know, big rocks. Dr. Fred talks about big rocks, Troy, mooring lines, which I use every day in my language and certainly every coaching session. and you know, when they're fully explained and they're put in a picture-like story, you remember them. So I think likability is around storytelling. It's around intent. It's around it's around being a great listener. These are the things that I think make you likable. Most of all, though, you know, your intent has to be, and I've felt this for many, many years since I started, it's got to be, I'm not here to get a commission. I'm here to help you achieve your goals.
And John, agree more. The intent of everything you've said, the intent is the core, it's the foundation, it's the heart of every successful sales effort, but also every salesperson. With the right intent, you think about any of the top performers, they don't necessarily worry about commissions. They don't worry about the next transaction. They're conscious of it, but their intent is to genuinely help people. And I think that's what makes the biggest difference, to only amplify what you just said.
I did a webinar yesterday with some very successful female agent in the Sunshine Coast who talks about being a community agent, Jody. Actually, she's McGrath, Jodie Headley.
Jodie Headley Ward.
Ward. Okay. Now, we did this webinar, and I've used her at a conference last week, and she talked about how she's become a community agent where they give $500 for to a charity of where the vendor wants for every transaction. But what I didn't find that as fascinating about the fact that she didn't spend any time throughout that webinar saying, look at the benefits that we've got. She said, you should see how happy when we get the groups together and they realize that we've actually had money that's contributed to some sort of machine that's going to help there or there. Her whole mindset was, hey, we're not doing this because this is some commercial strategy that's going to give us 45 listings a year as part of our plan. We're doing this because we get helpers high to contribute towards our community, and that makes us feel good. And she talked about the situation that she's got an 11-year-old son that's got type 1 or type 2 diabetes, I'm not quite sure, and how this issue had become important to her and that she realized the pain that other people have in their lives that she serves. And I just think that the best real estate agents in 2018 and beyond are community agents, people that contribute, that truly care. I really do.
100%. I'm glad you told the Jodie story or mentioned her, because she's one of the most likable people you could ever meet. So, yeah, well done.
John, can I ask you, I want to ask you as we finish off here, there's one more slide here that I think is gold, and I think this will take us to the end of this podcast, and that is, every issue you have today can be resolved by simply a change of mindset or a new system.
Yeah, that is a good one. Gee, I better get those slides back. I haven't used those for a while. They're all great.
Mate, once I put Tom Panos on the bottom and change the black and white to blue and white, it'll be the Tom Panos show.
Well, yeah, Tommy, you know, there's another word picture or metaphor that says, you know, you can't always change the wind, but you can adjust your sails. So not everything in the world is going to go the way you would plan it, hope it, or love it to happen. So often it's about what is your mindset about what's happening to you right now, and what is your mindset about the world? And if your expectations are that there will be issues and there will be bumps, but they're part of the journey and you just need to move through them, and, you know, there will be properties that fall over and there'll be, you know, listings you don't get and so forth. So changing your mindset is a really critical way of busting through all of your problems. And you know, we talk a lot about mindset. You know, we say that there's only two things that you can control. One is your attitude and two is your activity. And that's the kind of stuff we're just talking about here, is you can control the way you see things, the way you feel about things. And the opposite, guys, because as you both know, because you both do a lot of one-on-one coaching, so many people label things with these outrageous emotive. Now, someone will come in, they'll say, oh, the market's carnage. Or they'll say, oh, I've just had a disaster. And then you drill in, you say, so what's happened? Oh, my car's just broken down, and then someone did this, and I was late to my appointment, and you're thinking, my God, that's a disaster? Like, you seriously need to recalibrate your language and your thinking about life, because, you know, disaster sounds like stressful and it sounds horrible. This is a minor inconvenience at worst. So I think that it's around your attitude. And the other one is systems. you know, you look at most things that go wrong. Let's call it just in your business life, you know, focus on here. Most of them that go wrong are because there wasn't a system or you didn't follow the system. And we love the word picture of McDonald's, not because we think the food's good for you, because it's not, but because we know that billions of burgers are served daily by 15 and 16-year-olds all in a consistent manner because they are incredibly systematized or systemized, whatever is the right word. And in real estate, again, you know, you shouldn't reinvent the way you sell a property and you market a property. And these things should be systematically in place and you follow a process and then you go to a checklist. And I remember years ago, Tom, I was heading up to, I think it was Cairns or Townsville, Cairns, I think. Yeah, it was Port Douglas. I think I was going to give a speech there. And I ended up knowing the captain as I was getting on. You know, he kind of either looked at the passenger list or he saw me and he actually, we'd gone to school together. And a note came in from one of the flight attendants, or they came up to me and they said, "Mr. McGrath, would you like to come to the front and meet with the captain? You know, you guys went to school together." So, you know, I went inside and met him, and that was kind of good. And I got to sit down in the seat there. I don't know what it's called, but there's that seat that there's one extra seat. Anyway, long story short is it started to rain and I saw him pull down from sort of above near the visor. He pulled down a different checklist and I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Well, we're about to land." And he said, "We have a landing checklist and we have a wet weather landing checklist. And because there's some rain about, we now shift to the wet weather." Now, these are guys that have done thousands of flights, thousands of hours, and they still follow, you know, which is why Qantas is so safe and such a brilliant company. They still follow checklists every time. Nothing is left, you know, to the slightest bit of chance. And I think if we adopted that same approach, you know, they're saving lives, we're not. But if we adopt the same intensity and attention to detail when listing a property, selling a property, doing an open, doing an auction, this is critical. So I really encourage all our listeners and all your gym members to make sure that you systematize the things that are important. And you will almost never go wrong.
Okay, John, Troy, absolutely fantastic. I want to ask you, gentlemen, are you prepared to finish up Million Dollar Agent podcast right up until Christmas? Will we go to the last week?
Why are we finishing at Christmas? I thought we'd do a Christmas Day special.
Okay, well, Troy.
There you go, Tom. We thought we had the day off. We don't.
Okay.
Okay, you can dial in on Zencast now. There's no excuses anymore. Zencast allows us to do it.
Well, here's the reality. We've got this week, so this will go live Friday. This is live on Friday, and then we've got one next week and the week after, and that'll take us to the 22nd, which will be the last effective Saturday of selling in most markets. And then the Tuesday after that is Christmas Eve. So we could possibly squeeze in two or three more episodes and that'll see us through and then come back early January. Most of the people that I'm speaking to, Tom and John, everyone's back that first week of January, which is the 5th, because that'll lead them up to Australia Day weekend where most of them are having their final open for inspection before the auction, being the first week of February.
We'll just keep going until they're sick of us. But here's the thing. You know how you would have probably read the story, Tommy, that John Laws, you know, who's one of the greatest legendary commentators ever, and he had this special microphone put in and these special headphones, and he had this special thing, even though he's got an amazing voice, this special thing that made his voice sound even better, right? So just remember that thought for a minute. So does it seem funny that Troy sounds so much clearer before you got on? What have you done? You sound like incredibly crisp and clear. And he said, "Well, you know, I wasn't going to mention it, but I've had my special microphone tapped."
That's not true. He's telling fibs to all our listeners. That's not true. Tom, as you said, before I moved into doing a lot of coaching, I was an audio technician, so I've just managed to find a way to make it work for me.
Yeah.
Tom, the reason that Troy's getting all the speaking gigs and you and I are going to be having coffee at Haberfield or like that is basically because he's just continually eroding our credibility, and you and I are still on the rusty microphone. We're trying to speak through the computers, and Troy's got some Golden Globe type booster box, making himself John Lewis. So there you have it.
Well, on that point, Troy, I'm going to let you know. I read a beautiful quote this morning. It said, "Everyone wants to see you do good till you're better than it," and I've got to let you know. You're on my radar now, Troy. You're off my radar. Anyway, listeners, listen, thank you so much again for the biggest thing you can give us, your attention. Troy and I and John are going to be back to talk to you next week. Hope you have a fantastic last few weeks to the year, and we'll speak to you then. See you later, guys.
See you, guys. Thanks, guys. Bye.